You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, live from the AT&T Center, the media dining services. So fortunately, there were no food on hand. So if you hear any noise in the background, that's just the crew mopping up. But yeah, Spurs won, beat the Toronto Raptors 125-107 in the return of Kawhi Leonard. I am joined by my colleague at News4SanAntonio.com, Spurs own Jim Lefko. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And right off the bat, kudos to the Spurs fans for keeping it classy. He did get booed, he being Kawhi Leonard. But yeah, nonetheless, they gave him a taste of the medicine, but they kept it classy.
Yeah, he got booed, and I would say unmercilessly.
Yeah.
From start to finish, you know, from pregame warmups to every time he got himself on the court or touched the ball to free throws to everything else. But we were debating whether this was a good or a bad game for Kawhi personally. Obviously, getting blown out, you know, he's not going to feel good about that. But he did lead his team in scoring, 21 points, mm-hmm. 8 of 13 from the field, you know, 5 assists, so 1 rebound. You know, not one of his stellar games,
right.
But he didn't lay an egg, unlike his former Spurs teammate, Danny Green, who suffered through a really long game. And I think that's the only negative for Spurs fans. They love seeing Kawhi get beat. I think they had hoped that Danny might at least, you know, account for himself a little bit better than he did tonight.
Yeah. In a highly anticipated matchup, it was the Spurs that took it to Toronto, pretty much smacking them up from the beginning till end. Now, before we get into the X and O's, some of the housekeeping, if you will, there was a tribute video. It was a combo video for Kawhi and Danny, highlighting some of their greatest moments as a Spur. But as anybody could have predicted, anytime Kawhi's face was shown, he got booed while Danny got cheered.
Well, what's funny about the video, they showed it right around the pregame introductions. And afterwards, Kawhi told the media that he did not see it. Not sure what he would have been doing when that was playing, because there wasn't anything else going on. Danny Green, however, said he did see most of it, and was really touched and humbled was the word he used, that he got so much love from the organization that he, you know, played here for so long and then won a championship with. So it was interesting to see the reactions of these two players. Kawhi did ask somebody if it was any good, and when somebody said yeah, he kind of muttered that he'd probably watch it at some point. But it was just interesting to see. I thought that was a classy move by the Spurs to do it that way. Fans reacted as we figured that they would, and it was. I think they feel good as an organization that they got to honor two of their legendary players, both of whom have rings.
Yeah, Derek White was asked about that post game. That being the tribute video, and he said, well deserved, those two guys brought championships to San Antonio. So he's on the side of go Spurs go and saying, hey, that was a good move that they did.
Well, this organization has long been considered a class act, and you know, people notice. The nation was watching tonight.
They really was,
and you know, the team wanted to present its, you know, its best face, and I think they did. You can't predict how a game's going to unfold. And you probably can't predict how the fans are going to react, but you can control things like, you know, how you're going to present this atmosphere. And they did a good job. I think the Spurs get kudos, too,
for
pulling off an amazing evening that was highlighted by the fact that the home team blew out the visiting Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, that might be an understatement. Continuing on with Kawhi's arrival and now departure, that was his lone visit to San Antonio. Lots of boos, as I talked about. There was a chance of quitter. Some people heard traitor. Every time he stepped at the free throw line, there was a sign, or at least the only sign that you saw was a, I don't know how to explain
it. There was a snake in the picture of Kawhi, kind of, you know, I guess he's a snake or a snake in the grass. It was, again, I think the fans pretty much kept it classy. There were certainly people that paid a lot of money to get to come boo, and they got their money's worth.
That they did.
I think there's a few horse people around San Antonio now, but hey, that's what you pay your money for, and at times it was deafening. You know, it was deafening loud booing Kawhi, and it was definitely positive when the Spurs made just umpteen incredible plays, from rim-rattling dunks to incredible threes. There were a lot of reasons to cheer tonight. So I think the horse people around town are horse from both booing and cheering, because they had plenty of both.
Yeah. So we're going to dive right into it. What happened on the court between these two teams? Well, it was the Spurs that had a balanced attack. I believe they had multiple players in double figures. I think it was at like six.
Yep.
Yeah, six players in double figures scoring. They took care of the ball, at least for a good chunk of the game. Kind of got a little messy towards the end, but nevertheless, balance. I think that's the best way to describe it. They had a balanced attack against Toronto Raptors.
Well, when you see that starting lineup, you know, four of the five were between 19 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gay had 13, got in a little bit of foul trouble, but all five, not only 13 or more, but all five over 50% from the field. And when you can do that as a starting lineup, as a team, they finished 55.3%. And darn near hit 50% of their three-point shots, finished 13 to 27.
Yeah.
It was just a fun night to watch that ball splash into the rim.
It really was.
Through the rim and into the net.
DeMar DeRozan, I could not believe this. Versus his former team, he recorded his first triple-double, Jim, I believe was at 21 points, thank you.
14 rebounds, 11 assists. He had 8 rebounds in the first quarter, which was the best quarter rebounding of his career, and he ends up with the first triple-double of his career. So just fascinating to watch him just deal and shoot and penetrate and play some good D. I mean, he did it all tonight. This is a game I think he's going to remember the rest of his career.
DeMar DeRozan, after the game, joked that he is now going to chase Russell Westbrook's record of triple-doubles in a season. I think he can do it, Jim. I really do.
Well, it's a great unselfish thing when you're getting double-digit assists. I think it's kind of been a revelation for a lot of Spurs fans that he's such a good passer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he wasn't he was a good passer in Toronto, but not a great passer like he is here. And maybe he didn't need to be the distributor in Toronto, but the ball's in his hands a lot, and good things tend to happen.
Yeah.
He's finding people. He's aggressively pursuing assists, and I haven't seen too many players do that, especially a guy who's not a point guard.
Yeah.
So, boy, with the ball in his hands, the Spurs fans should feel very confident because something good is going to happen.
Let's talk about the role players and what they did versus Toronto. From Derek White, who received high praise from DeMar DeRozan at describing Derek White as awesome, to Bryn Forbes, to Patty Mills, everybody just chipped in.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. You know, some nights the bench needs to carry the starting lineup. Some nights the starting lineup carries the bench. Tonight you saw contributions everywhere. It was just a fun evening to watch. I don't know that I would call Derek White a role player anymore. With him is establishing himself in the starting rotation the way he has. I was skeptical. I wasn't sure that a backcourt of Bryn Forbes, Derek White, and DeMar DeRozan as a swingman was going to be enough to put them over the top. But from what we've seen the last couple weeks, that group is meshing. It's a finely oiled machine, and it's been really fun to watch.
Yep.
They've all been shooting well. They cover for each other. They play good defense. You know, we're not even talking about defense anymore.
You know.
And remember how big of a liability that was the first 2 months of the season. So something clicked with this team defensively, and I think they're getting a juice on the other end offensively because they're shutting teams down.
Right.
You know, they're not trading hoops. They're getting stops.
Yeah.
And you put two or three hoops in a row, and you get a couple stops, and suddenly, you know, you open up some space.
Right.
You build on it. And before we knew it, tonight, this game was over, you know, 12, 15 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Derek White finished with 19 points versus Toronto, connected on 2 3-point shots, 8 shots from the field, 4 assists, and a steal. Bryn Forbes, did he miss a shot? Seriously.
He missed 1 3-point shot, and he took 7 of them.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
6 for 7 from the 3-point line, 7 for 10 from the field. He finished with 20 points, 3 assists, and a steal. Patty Mills, 12 points off the bench. Jakob Poeltl with 7 rebounds on the night. Everybody was just locked in, no pun intended, versus Toronto.
Well, you know, you always want to say that the crowd, the sixth man, is a factor. I think a lot of times that's hype. I think every home team has that every game. Tonight, I would argue the home team got that benefit from their crowd. This was a playoff. This wasn't just a playoff crowd. This was an NBA Finals crowd.
It really was.
And every single player, you know, from the Spurs' perspective, fed off that. And I really thought that the emotional lift that they got in the first quarter would dissipate into the second and third quarter. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
These guys played at pretty much a fever pitch the entire game, and Toronto never got back into this game. And we marveled at that, you know, in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and by the middle of the fourth quarter, it's like, I guess they don't have a run in them. It was crazy.
Here's a little funny note. Throughout, at least after the first quarter, Jim was sitting next to me on press row, and he kept on saying, now Toronto's going to make their run. Now Toronto's going to make their run. Okay, third quarter, they're going to make it, and it just never came.
Well, between the two of us, we've seen a lot of NBA basketball, and boy, I would guess that 95 to 98% of the games I've seen or covered in my career, somebody at some point that's been way down makes a run. You just don't see a whole game, and I guess that little mini spurt they put on near the end of the game in garbage time at least got it to quasi-respectable, you know, an 18-point deficit, but boy, if the Spurs had kept the foot on the pedal, they would have won by 40 tonight.
Yeah,
Toronto just did not have it. It was unfortunate for them, but it was a victory party from the get-go for Spurs fans.
Exactly. All right, so Jim and I, we're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to continue talking about the Spurs walloping the Toronto Raptors 125-107.
I want to talk about your favorite player here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko of News 4 San Antonio, my colleague over at the Spurs Zone as well. You should be going to the Spurs Zone daily for everything silver and black. One of the funniest things, Jim, is we were talking about towards the end of the game at like how much better can this game get? You know, what could it possibly be? And I just threw it out there saying, well, Pop could throw out Lonnie Walker and maybe that'll get the crowd going at a fever pitch. Seconds later, Jim, you see Lonnie Walker getting up off the bench, and chants of Lonnie came raining down on the rookie.
I think Pop was listening to you.
Yeah, I think he was.
The minute before that, we were wondering why all the starters were still on the court in a 25-point blowout. But it was fun to see Lonnie come in the game. And, fans have heard so much about him, and we're so excited to see him make his debut. And then he got hurt, and then he's been in Austin for a while. And then he came down here for a game and didn't get off the bench. So it was really fun tonight to get to see him get on the court and hit a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. And the sky's the limit for this kid. And it'd be nice if the Spurs have a lot more blowouts so they can get him in there. And maybe by the end of the year he's playing some quality minutes when the game's still on the line. But, you know, rookies find it hard to break into the rotation, especially on an accomplished team like the Spurs. And I think Pop is going to spoon-feed him minutes as he deserves them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're happy to see him. That unit he was out there with was not playing too much defense.
No, not really.
I think they were looking for Lonnie to get a shot, and he scored. But that was fun. That was one of the nice little sidelights of this almost perfect evening.
It really was. Fans showed their appreciation for the young kid. As Jim mentioned, he had a three-point shot. Looked very eager. You can tell he was very antsy, bouncing around the court in the few minutes that he played. But just a little glimpse that we got of Lonnie. This kid has some athleticism to him.
And he made a move. I think the first time he took a shot, he made a move to the lane and couldn't finish at the hole. But, you know, we saw that athleticism. Mm-hmm. And you can never have too many great athletes on your team. No. And you combine what he can do on the court with what I think is going to be a totally winning personality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to, when you're not playing or you're going back and forth to Austin, it's tough to get exposed to the San Antonio faithful. But the more he establishes himself and becomes part of the team in the rotation, we're going to get to see his personality really emerge. And that's going to be a fun little addition to this already fun-to-watch team.
Right. And as if you can still heap praise on San Antonio, what they did versus Toronto, Jim, 32 assists on 47 shots made. Wow. Passing the ball.
Yeah, I think they started with 13 in that marvelous first quarter, and I think I compared that to the third quarter in the Boston game. You know, the Spurs are really treating their fans to some excellent basketball. Mm-hmm. And, again, you don't want to put too many superlatives on it. It's still early part of January, and, it's at home. You know, I'd like to see them do some of this on the road. But, man, we're getting treated to, you know, some of the best of Spurs basketball that we've seen in a while.
Yeah. The Spurs definitely capitalized on Toronto mistakes. Toronto with 10 turnovers for the night for 17 San Antonio points. Toronto did not shoot the three ball well at all, 6 for 30 for 20% for the game. Just didn't really look like the mighty Toronto Raptors of the East that we've seen this season.
Yeah, if you don't see Toronto often and this was your first chance to see them, you're wondering how they're sitting atop the East or right near it. And this is not obviously the best of Toronto Raptor basketball.
No, not at all.
You know, we've mentioned many times you don't judge a team on its best win or its best loss. And, again, when they get their horses back, we were talking kind of laughingly that no Spur played badly, and I would almost argue that no Raptor played well.
Yeah.
Again, Kawhi probably had the best game of anybody on the Raptors, and it was an okay game for him. But, boy, it'd be hard to find the second-best player out of that bunch tonight. They just didn't bring it. A lot of statistics that probably didn't mean a whole lot because the game wasn't close.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it was more of a fan treat.
I
think that's the way I'm going to view this game. It's just a treat for the fans that suffered through last year. You know, so agonizingly, that Leonard story would never end.
Right.
It held the city hostage, and tonight they got some vindication. They got a chance to boo their former hero and do it respectfully and kick his butt at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest lead San Antonio had over Toronto, 28 points. It really wasn't a contest. It kind of got close, but it was in garbage time, and that's pretty much all she wrote. You know, outside of that, you know, the Spurs did dominate that first quarter, 38-19. That set the tone for the rest of the game. Spurs were cruising. They lost the second and fourth quarter, but, you know, the fourth quarter doesn't really count. You know, it was already well out of hand. kind of made it interesting, Toronto.
Well,
but I
think the way to look at it is the Spurs were up by 19 after one quarter, and they won by 18.
Yeah.
So the final three quarters were 50-50, and they just kind of played ball and finished out those final 36 minutes. But that first quarter was something to behold, and as we told each other during the game, very rarely do you win a game in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely does the first half really even matter all that much.
Yeah.
But in this one, it went against convention. That first quarter decided the game.
Yeah, exactly. Spurs continue to be hot at the free throw line, 18 for 20 for 90%, something they've been doing quite well this season. Spurs played a complete game. And that's pretty much it as far as the X's know. But I do want to end this episode of Locked On Spurs with one little side note, which we'll talk about when we get back after the break. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. So I want to end on this note, Jim. Kawhi and Pop had a moment at the end of the game. Pop kind of brushed aside TV cameras. He didn't want them listening into their private conversation. They embraced right in front of the scorer's table. They had a long chat. It looked kind of intense. He's not getting mad at him. He's not his team. He's not a member of his squad anymore. But it seemed they were very engaged, very locked in.
Well, most of the superstars in the NBA hold Pop in high esteem. He's going to coach quite a few of these guys in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kawhi Leonard's going to be playing for Popovich again.
Yeah.
And I think it behooves Pop to, be on good terms with his former star. I think he wants to look at last year's water under the bridge and move forward. So I think it was a very public gesture by Pop to let the world see that he's given Kawhi some love. And then right after that, Kawhi went and started hugging everybody that he played with last year. For sure, Patty Mills, a couple other guys. We were a little bit away from where that was going on. But it was kind of a nice moment. I don't know if Spurs fans like that.
Yeah.
They probably didn't. But these guys form pretty tight relationships. Pop and Kawhi spent 7 years together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a necessary kind of thing. I don't know if they got a chance to do it, to chat much before the game.
Right.
But, had it been reversed and had Toronto won, I think you'd have seen the exact same reaction from those two. The Spurs have always been classy winners, and I think they're classy even if they were to have gotten beat, but that obviously didn't happen tonight.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to see. I like that moment.
Yeah. I think Rudy Gay was another player who came and embraced Kawhi Leonard, and it was weird. The mix of Spurs and Toronto players kind of walked off the court together.
Right.
There was no segregation. There was no, you go down your tunnel, I go down. They all, as a unit, exited.
Danny Green in the postgame Raptors locker room said something similar. He said it was really weird, was his weird word to play against all these guys that he spent so much time with.
Mm-hmm.
He felt doubly bad because he did have a very poor game tonight, but he was positive with the reaction that he got. He loved that, but he thought it was very strange to play against his former teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan continued to kind of downplay playing against his former team, but he did reiterate that it won't hit him until he goes up north in Canada and plays in front of the Toronto home crowd, and I think that's when we might see DeRozan be.
We got to get the TV station to send us both up there. I've never been to Toronto. I hear it's a beautiful city, and that'll be a fun game.
If you're listening right now, send us to Toronto.
Well, I think it'll be fun to see how Kawhi responds, too, because he's not going to get booed in Toronto.
No.
They're going to shower him with love, and that'll be an interesting game, Spurs of Toronto. But there's a few games between now and then that we have to get through.
That is a very good point, because here in San Antonio, there was obviously anger towards Kawhi. But up north, when Spurs make their visit to Toronto, which is, I think, is coming up kind of quickly, in a few weeks, I believe. I'm not too sure about that. But it's going to be all love. Love for Kawhi and love for DeMar and Hurdle.
And that's the interesting thing. It's hard to characterize a fan base, but I was actually thinking the Spurs tonight, it was hatred. A lot of fans hate Kawhi Leonard, and I think that the way to express it is through booing. And maybe they got that out of their system, and the next time it'll change to something else. But, there's a lot of hate here, and that's not a healthy emotion to feel.
No,
I think hopefully they got that out of their system, and they did boo him relentlessly.
Yeah.
But, again, he's a professional athlete. Popovich with that hug shows that he does not hate Kawhi Leonard, and I think his ex-teammates don't hate him. So maybe it's time for the city to start getting a little bit of hate out of their heart. And, they're going to keep booing him, but they had their chance tonight. They ruled the day, and we'll see what it's like when the Spurs go back up there in a few weeks.
Yeah, but life does continue now that the big game of the year is over. San Antonio will now host the Memphis Grizzlies this Saturday in San Antonio. Kyle Anderson's second visit back to the Alamo City. So look forward to that. Jim, any final thoughts on the big win over Toronto?
Yeah, I was a little scared that the game with the big hype would not live up to it.
Yeah.
And what's funny is there was no drama in terms of who would win. That was settled early. But I think the game did live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating to watch. If you liked studying human behavior, you had all kinds of examples here, test cases to see how they would respond. And from both perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So big win for the Spurs and big win for the Spurs fans.
Yeah.
They needed it. A little catharsis after the 2017-18 season and then what the city felt like it was held hostage.
Yeah.
So they got their revenge tonight.
Yeah. So hopefully the Spurs winning ways will continue as the season moves on. But we need to hear from you. How do you feel about tonight, or by the time you listen to this show, last night's win over Toronto? You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And as always, go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. And now Jim's going to talk to you.
Yeah, you already stole my thunder here, but you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Lefko, and I'm trying to write a weekly column for our websites. So give a little different approach, different flavor. I guess I shouldn't bring up what I predicted this game was going to be like. It didn't quite live up to the little fanciful scenario that I envisioned, but that was fiction.
Yeah.
And I usually deal in facts, so we'll get back to a little different kind of commentary starting next week.
Yeah, exactly. So for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lot on this episode of Locked On Spurs.